Jay, thank you for the invitation. Appreciate you coming out this afternoon. Usually 4:30 on Sunday afternoon, I'm sort of getting over the nap and, you know, coming to terms with the evening service. But appreciate you coming out this afternoon. I'd like to just give you some handouts. I've got a few different aspects to tonight's session, looking at some duty of care issues. You're right. Yeah, that'd be nice. We can have that up, Josh, if that's all right. Just looking at child safety issues, working with children. I've been sort of advising and working around this, for, I guess, for probably the last 10 years or so, almost sort of accidentally. I'm not sure that anyone does this because they, you know, it's what they want to do first of all. But these are issues that come up in ministry and things, and hopefully I can be a help, small help to you today. Okay, if we could have the next slide. I want to talk about duty of care. That have you heard that expression before? Duty of care? Yep. And it gets bandied around a lot. We talk about, you know, a council's duty of care. If, you trip over on the footpath, you know, duty of care of schools and, you know, duty of care if you're at the shopping centre and slip over that sort of thing. And it's a legal concept and has to do with, you know, responsibility for people under your care. And when we think about a church's duty, that is when people come to our ministries, when they're under our supervision or control, you know, whether that's in a rented hall such as this or in our own building, the law says that there are going to be obligations. There tend to be much higher obligations today because of that wonderful thing called insurance, all right? And so the judiciary figures that there's an insurer lurking behind the church somewhere, you know, with lots of cover. And so the duty tends to be a bit higher because they figure that you're covered anyway, so to speak. Problem is it affects your premiums the next year and the year after, you know, that kind of thing. And so when we talk about a duty of care, we're talking about a few things. First thing it's talking about is reasonable supervision. Okay, it's not absolute supervision. Okay, we don't need, you know, cameras up here tonight and just sort of outside in the car park so that, you know, the church watches our every move in case we slip over, right? That's unreasonable. On the other hand, if you operate a prison, having cameras and things like that is probably a duty to the public. You see what I'm saying? So churches, like other, you know, providers of, you know, children's services, so to speak, childcare centers, schools, that sort of thing, they got to give reasonable supervision. And, you know, what is reasonable for the toddler's class is going to be different for a teenage class. Okay, and then once they're over 18, they're, you know, going to look after themselves, so to speak. So it needs to be reasonable. And you might say, well, what's reasonable? Well, it's whatever's reasonable. That's judicial wisdom the last 50 years, whatever's reasonable in the circumstances. So every church has to look at its own ministries and its own premises and say, hey, what do we think is reasonable, you know, in the circumstances? A safe, supportive environment. Okay, so if, you know, if a Sunday school teacher, you know, is screaming at their kids for an hour, that's not a safe environment, is it? It's a very destructive, negative environment. And so it even covers things like that. And then, you know, safe and suitable premises and equipment. And I guess you would have some additional issues when you're renting premises because you would come here, I imagine, on Sunday morning or whenever and you find things not quite where they're supposed to be or, you know, things being left out because you tripped over it. You discovered that when the lights are off. And so these are the sort of things that churches have to look at. So basically that is a church's duty, you know, whether it's to its members or to, you know, members of the public, that sort of thing. Any questions about the duty of care? Any questions about that before we go on? Yeah. Yep. 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 Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Well, I get asked that question so often because what you've got here, you've got children usually with parents, and then you got church people too. And we have that issue at our church, all right, with cars going in and out and children. We've had to, you know, we've sort of put up some temporary petitions where we are, but it's just our own circumstances. I generally say that after church, you know, parents need to keep an eye on their children. You know, unless it's been arranged that the church are going to have people out there keeping an eye, it's not entirely fair to think, well, it's the church's responsibility to man the car park after church. You know what I'm saying? Because it's, you know, that has its burdens and things, you know, as well. So it comes down to where the car park is in relation to where the church building is, in relation to where people are having their cup of tea after church, okay? But by and large, if children are out there, you know, an adult, preferably a parent, should, you know, should be out there if they're toddlers, so to speak, and, you know, to keep an eye. But I know with our children, like I got, you know, my son is, you know, notorious for wandering. And, you know, so I need to keep an eye on it for him. I'm not looking to other people to mind my child after, you know, after church. He's our responsibility, you know. Yeah, I think, you know, it may be a matter, if that is an issue, it may be a matter of saying to people, look, you know, we would prefer it if children were in this area or that area after or before church. If they go elsewhere, then the parents need to watch them. I mean, this is a large area. You can't petition off all the nooks and crannies around here. Right. Yep. Have that.
Really, that covered area out there.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, this would be a great place for kids, I imagine. They'd love to, you know, run around and explore, you know. So, you know, it depends on the premises and where things are. But I'd usually say to parents, look, if you have kids that wander, you're going to have the primary, you know, responsibility. I'm not saying the church has none, particularly if they're kids from out of the community and their parents aren't around. Then we need to keep an extra eye on them, right? You know, I'm loath to recommend that, you know, you need people rostered on to do this or that, because it just adds another, you know, layer of burden on people that just may not be reasonable, okay? But the younger the children are, the more the parents need to keep an eye out for them, you know. I think probably most of it. If you've got a toddler, right, and they're out and the parents have no idea where they are, if the parents are here, present, then I think the parents are going to have to wear probably all of the responsibility, you know. All right. Yeah.
There was a lot of, I guess it was due to weather, bark and stuff coming off the trees, lying around the ground everywhere, the toilets were building, the school wasn't in session, so there was no cleaning. It doesn't go down all of that time. But is that still our responsibility to look at those issues and sort of pick up the extra, or should we negotiate with the school?
Yeah.
We can expect cleaning.
I don't know. It depends what the arrangements are. I think if you're using the premises and the most direct way that you get here is covered in, you know, leaves and this and that, and it's a safety issue for people to access the property and come out, then, yeah, the church could do maybe the bare minimum in terms of creating a trail that's safe to, you know, get from here to there. But apart from then having to do the whole thing, I wouldn't have thought so, you know. But that's a reasonable question, and maybe talk to the school, you know, about what happens in those circumstances. Yeah. But if you're using it and you want the public to have access to the church, you know, if you can create just a narrow pathway or something that's, you know, that can be done within a reasonable time, that makes sense to me. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So. Okay, thanks, Josh. Yeah. It's a balancing act, is it not? Between, you know, between doing nothing, trying to do everything, I try and encourage people to, you know, not to feel overburdened by some of these requirements, but to find a, you know, practical way around them so that we do ministry each week and not be burdened by all of these duties and, you know, things like that. But it is a balancing act. We don't always get it right perfectly. The first time might take some tweaking, you know, with our safety issues with our car park. We had some plastic barriers that could be easily removed. We're now trying to get people to park, you know, front-end parking. That's another good one, so that, you know, they're not reversing out. Okay. But we're North Queenslanders, you know, you've got to tell people a dozen times and they get it a year later. So we have these cultural issues, you know, up north. So we have the same issues as well. Okay, thanks. This was an American case, but it has to do with, I think, a church. Okay. Measure the duty of a person. Okay. You know, it's probably going to be gauged by the average reasonable parent. Okay. And it's much like what the Lord said, as you would do, you know, as you want what others have do to you, you should do to them. So we, particularly where you have a church of, you know, made up largely of volunteers, we're not talking about fully trained teachers or educators or, you know, child safety specialists. If you've got a, you know, church of volunteers and they're looking after children, then, you know, the question should be, well, what, if this was my child or whatever, you know, what would I do? Okay. Now, while there are differences between parenting and things like that, you know, it's good to talk to others and say, look, you know, what is reasonable? You know, for this group of toddlers, you know, how many teachers do we need? Is it fine just to have one, or do we need someone else? If we have a problem child, what are we going to do? What is reasonable? Okay. You know, there is no law that says for every five children you need to have one teacher or whatever else. Those things don't exist. But, you know, it comes down to what you guys can manage and, you know, how many children you have, where you are, you know, those kind of things. Okay. All right. School is going to be somewhat higher. Okay. Why? Because it's full of qualified teachers. Okay. And so that's going to be higher. It's not just a home. Okay. Hazards would exist in a home which would be unreasonable in a school. So you have, you know, mum ironing away because she knows the little one's going to, you know, stay there. But other similar sort of things in a school environment where you got all sorts of kids running around, you know, may not be, you know, appropriate. I think in the future that churches are going to have a higher duty, because I think it's going to be thought, well, you know, you're providing services for children, ministry to children. We expect you to have an expertise similar to schools. And so we need to probably shoot a bit higher than, you know, than lower. Okay. I have that in these presentations because I have a lot of Christian schools that I speak to and they all want to know what their duty is. Okay. Limits of the duty. All right. This is really important. Okay. A duty of care will arise whenever a church is ministering to a child. Now, not necessarily when the ministry begins. Okay. Put it this way: if your youth group starts at 5 p.m. right, and leaders are here at 4:30, the doors are open, and parents are dropping their kids off, and you're letting them in and getting set up or whatever else, that's when the duty starts. That's when it doesn't start at 5. Starts before then. Okay. If the doors are locked, there's no leaders, and parents just drop their kids off unsupervised, I think it's the parents' problem. Okay? But whenever the ministry happens, and so you determine that question by, you know, has the child been placed under the authority of the church? Has there been a handing over, so to speak, of the child? All right? And when the church accepts the responsibility. You know, if there's been a practice that the kids are allowed here half hour earlier, and I'm saying that's a problem, but if parents know that that's fine, they can drop them off earlier and the church is going to be there to supervise, the duty starts. Same with when things finish. You know, if ministry finishes at 7 and there's that 20 or 25 minutes between, you know, parents coming and dropping them home, that sort of thing, then the duty's still going to exist. So that means that if you've got one or two kids, you know, I'll take that question in a minute. If you've got one or two kids, they haven't been picked up, then you just can't leave them here, right? And wait for the parents to come. You know, if they're 16, 17, and you know, that might be different, all right? But if they're little, you've got to wait till the parents come, or you know, you take them home. I was talking to one leader at our church. She said one year these parents never came. And so the kids stayed at their place for the night. You believe that? So they just took them home. That's all they could do. So, you know, so that happened. Question? Joy? Yeah? Yeah. And, you know, that may have been because of something or some advice or the location, that sort of thing. And, you know, we've had to send letters home to parents and say, look, you know, unless we agree, we can't necessarily give transport each week. We need you to come and get your kids because we just only have so many cars. You know, what I would do is I would use that as an opportunity, particularly if, you know, notes don't even get home. Go visit them. It's an opportunity to witness to them. Here's our policy, or here's our letter, and here's a tract. You know, so you're doing two things at once, and you got that's legitimate to knock on the door and say, hey, we have these child safety things for you, and here's a tract. This is about our church. I mean, that's, you know, it's great. It's a good opportunity. People are more accepting of a visit. Yep. Mentioned that earlier about times, okay? And, you know, if the parents know that half hour before you're going to be there and that's fine, then they can rely on that supervision. So you might need to make that clear, okay, with a letter. You might be able to kill a few birds with one stone. It might be a general letter about, you know, if they have any health needs, any, you know, privacy issues like getting their photograph at your notice board or, you know, whatever else, sort of try and get it all in one and, you know, go visit and get their signature. You know, usually there's no problem that way. Right. Okay, geographical limits. Our church is on a really nasty corner, all right? We've got the highway on one side, and then we've got a school, public school, just straight across the road, but there's just a really sharp corner. And, you know, we have Awana games at the school premises Tuesday night. And so, you know, we're out there with, you know, the safety vests and the lamps and the lights and the, you know, whistles and this and that to get the kids over the road, you know, safely. Okay. So, you know, we have an obligation inside, but also strictly outside, particularly if kids are getting lifts home, you know, and things like that. Schools have the same issues with, you know, the bus stop sort of thing. They usually have teachers out the front waiting, you know, with the kids to get the bus and, you know, things like that. All right. Particularly true if you're on a busy nearby intersection. It's funny, I was at a church a few years ago and they're on a highway. And they had this little old, you know, gate sort of thing. And they asked about that. And I said, oh, you look, it's a busy highway. You know, this is an issue. Well, I came back this weekend and they have this massive big iron gate. It's impressive. I mean, they really took my advice, went all out to avoid any children, you know, getting out. You know, you'd have to really climb pretty high to get over the road onto the highway. So, busy intersection. Okay. I mean, this school is somewhat off the highway. You know, it's somewhat off. It's fairly close, but it's not as though it's the same kind of consideration. Right. Any questions about limits and, you know, that sort of thing? Anything? All right. Okay. Top. Okay. Did you have runaways, by the way? Did you have kids run? No? Okay, yeah, they just disappear or, you know, yeah, want to go home or, you know, don't want to do craft or, you know, that sort of thing. Yep. We've had this problem from time to time, okay, at Trinity. Kids living very close, you know, wanting to run, that sort of thing. A lot of it's going to depend on the age of the child. If they're a teenager running home, you may just be able to let them go. If you know where they live and, you know, they're big enough to get home. If they are younger, you know you have a potential issue. Okay, it's an idea to try and locate the child as soon as possible, but also you know ring home as soon as possible. You know if the child hasn't been found within you know a few minutes, whatever else. Okay, you know if this is going to become a regular occurrence, then you might need to say to the child, look, you know. You know, this is not appropriate. You're going to have to miss out on club for a few weeks or whatever else because you're going to have kids running out. It's going to create a huge resources drain just recovering the situation and looking after the kids that have stayed around and, you know, that sort of thing. Okay. So runaways, all right, that can be an issue. You don't want to neglect the other kids, all right? So I think I mentioned, you know, mentioned that before. We had a situation at Trinity where a child ran, left club, ran over the highway onto the roof of the shopping centre. And it was only the promise of a ride home on the fire truck that got him home that night. That's the only thing that got him down. He got a, you know, fire truck home. So we have these things come up from time to time and... you know, can be a real issue. So if you have kids, you know, even it may not be them running away, it may just mean them hiding behind or, you know, just sort of going out, particularly at night or in the dark. And, you know, that's a real problem because once they say, oh, I fell over or I tripped over or I hurt myself, it's hard for the church to, you know, to come back and say, well, you know, what could we do? You know, that can be a challenge, all right? So I'd be thinking about that. You may need to ring the police, okay? I think parents first, so they've got the option of coming to the property. Or they, I mean, they may not care. They think, oh, he runs away all the time. He's always running away from school or he's always running away from home. I mean, this may not even be a big deal to them, you see. So once you've rung them, I think if they're not concerned or whatever else, then I don't think you have to ring the police, okay? But touch base with the parents, all right? And that would be the same with, you know, kids falling over, hurting themselves. If they're saying they've broken a bone or they can't get up or whatever else, apart from reporting the incident, you really should ring home and see what the parents want to do. The parents might be happy for them to stay or the parents might want them to come home, but you really need to touch base with the parents, what you know what they want done. All right? Okay. Yep. That's it. Wow. Any questions about duty of care before we go on? Anything that's come up? Anything? All right. And, you know, I've spoken about geographical limits. I mean, you know, in terms of time limits, I had a pastor, you know, ring who they had an incident on their church property 30 years ago. Someone interfering with kids and, you know, different administration, different leaders, different people. And so, you know, these things can come back years and years later, you know, and leaders face something that they never created, was never their problem. So these things have a way of, you know, coming back, you know, later on. So all the more reason to be on guard and, you know, to be on notice. We're on the one that's not signed. Which one's that? Codes of conduct. Yep. Tap. Thank you. All right. Good. Tap. Yep. Okay. We think about child safety and things, all right? What we want to do is we want to, first of all, assess the risk. You know, what are the risks, okay? And, you know, that takes the entire church to assess the risks, okay? I know on Sunday I'm focused on the ministry of the word and, that you know, those sort of things. I'm not thinking about property, not thinking about where cars are parked or, you know, those sort of things. And so it's going to take the whole church to have their eyes open and to, you know, to think about things that can come up. So you try and assess the risk. Plans and policies, and you have those already, okay? They're in place, you have those, okay? And then it's a matter of trying to implement them, try and do things around that. It may not mean that you have to do anything at the moment, okay? But things change, situations, you know, come about where you need to make some adjustments, things like that. Then you monitor and evaluate, you know, what have we got to change? What have we got to keep? Okay, I hate changing church documents. I just hate trying to convince the church to change this part of the constitution or this plan or policy, but sometimes you need to, all right? They're not sacrosanct, they're not inspired, you know, there are no original autographs of child safety policies. They can be changed, okay, they can be amended. And so, you know, every year or two, have a look at them. Are there things that need to be tweaked? Some things sometimes you can just take out because they just don't need to be there, you know, that sort of thing. So they are works in progress, all right? And as people come in, they need to be, you know, trained, given the policy and maybe some, you know, some DVDs and things. I think we might have shown, did we show any DVDs last time I was here? There are some really good resources that I can give to you. Have some, yeah, yeah. There are some that are really good and, you know, it's not a lot of preparation time, you know, it's just press play and, it's, you know, some really good information, you know, that's out there. You know, so that can be very helpful. Okay, thanks, Josh. Look, in terms of definitions, okay, a child, right, is any person under the age, for the purposes of the law, at 18. And so anyone in church who's under 18, we have to potentially see them as a child, so to speak. I'm not saying they're childish or anything like that. I'm just saying that for legal purposes, they're going to be regarded as a child, okay? And so that, you know, that's going to have an impact at different junctures, okay? How we regard them, how we treat them. You know, it doesn't mean you treat them the same as if they're, as if a child that's 5 or 10 or 15, but technically they are still a child. And, you know, that comes into play a little bit, you know, down the track, particularly if, and look, you might have, you know, a guy, he's 19 and his girlfriend, she's 17 and she's in the youth group and, you know, they might break up and then potentially you may have an issue. Okay. It's not beyond the bounds of possibility. And so just sort of think about that in those situations. I'm not saying that it's a bad relationship or it's wrong or anything, but it may impact involvement and, you know, how things are done in some ministries. I think you can see where I'm coming from, but I just want to flag that as, you know, as a possible, as being out there. Emotional abuse, child abuse, it is, you know, emotional, okay? Not just sexual. We tend to think of, you know, the worst case scenario, so to speak, you know, sexual abuse, but it has to do with the environment you create. Like I said, you know, yelling at students, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, I teach RE in public schools up in Cairns and, you know, I've seen kids screamed at from time to time. Well, if they're getting that for hours at a time, I mean, that's not very good. Okay. There's a problem there, you know, maybe because they can't do anything else about the situation, but it has to do with how we speak to children, the kind of environment that we create for children. Okay. You know, there is a power imbalance. Okay, adults and children. That's how it's designed to be, by the way. There needs to be a period where you have more power, right? So they can learn and grow, all right? You have a power advantage, okay? But, you know, there can be an abuse of that. You see what I'm saying? You know, young people can be taken advantage of. And so while there is an imbalance, it needs to be a healthy one and one where their weakness is not being preyed upon or being presumed upon, okay, or being bullied, things like that. So there's emotional abuse. Yep. There's neglect, right? It's just nothing happens. I mean, they're just left in a corner all day, right? Not being fed. Just neglect, all right? And you know, the younger a child is, the more help they need, more assistance they need, more direction, okay? There is You know, physical abuse, non-accidental injury. Okay, where it was, you know, I think in a church situation, my advice is that you just, that, you know, you don't discipline children, right? Well, what if they're your own? Well, I would have thought that even if they were your own, if it happened at church and you got other kids around, you know, you either do it very privately somewhere or you go home and do it because, you know, because other kids see, hey, they're not getting disciplined that way, but your child is. And, you know, that can create some problems there. So if it's your child, you know, well, treat it as a private parental issue somewhere privately, just much like if your child, you know, was playing up at the shopping center and, you know, you were going to discipline discreetly, you know, for the testimony's sake and, you know, people not raising an eyebrow. But I think if they're not our kids, then as much as they need it, much they need to be looked after, we just can't do it, all right? We may need to take them home. If they're church kids, explain to the parents what's happened and let the parents do what seems right to them. But I don't think we should be physically disciplining children. That's not the same as not restraining them. If they've either lost their temper, they've had a seizure and they're a danger to others, you can forcibly restrain them, all right? It may take 2 liters to restrain a child, okay, depending on their age and size and whatever's happening. That's not what I'm getting at, okay? That's reasonable. But in terms of correcting a child physically, we just can't have that done anymore, okay? Because it's going to be regarded as an assault, you know, even if it's a little smack or whatever else. The police would most likely charge you if the parents got wind of it and they took offense, of course, right? And any questions about those issues? About, you know, what you do with, you know, anything? Okay. That sort of makes sense, I hope. All right. I had a Sunday school class and we had this little kid in the class and he was really unruly and one of the lady helpers, I mean, she smacked him during prayer and it fixed him instantly. But you just can't do that anymore. This is going back many years now, but unfortunately those days are over. Okay. All right, yep. Sexual abuse, okay. It's really, you know, any act that erodes the proper sexual boundary that you have with a child, okay. Any apparent consent of the child is always negated. And oftentimes people say, yeah, but they, you know, they agreed with this. They played along with this. That, you know, they didn't say no, they didn't object or, you know, whatever else the law says. It doesn't matter how willing they were. It's going to be abuse, as it should be, because, you know, often they don't have the maturity to know what they're doing and, you know, the implications of that, okay? And so there needs to be those proper boundaries respected. And, you know, I don't need to spell all those things out. We'll get to that in protocols, procedures. But our relationship with the children, listen, it's personal. It is somewhat emotional. It obviously should be spiritual, but it's not sexual. Okay? That's we have no part in those things. But there is a relationship, but that boundary there that's physical and that moves into the sexual realm is something that we have nothing to do with. Okay? That's what the law is getting at. Now, what is not abuse? Okay? This is what is not abuse, okay? Non-intimate part of a child's body to get their attention, to comfort a child. Okay, teaching is a contact profession, okay? It is a touching profession at times, okay? Particularly the smaller ones, they need that hug sometimes. They need that handshake. They need that arm around the shoulder, okay? The young ones particularly. And I'm not saying you can't do that, all right? But I am saying that you should be careful where you do that. Make sure that other people are around as much as you can. I mean, you know, creche workers probably you have some more liberty, all right, where you have mothers in the room and you've got your kids and other kids and there's an understanding between the mothers, okay, all right. You know, that is not wrong. In our church, I mean, we're friends with, you know, you know, we were close friends with some other families and they have young children, right? And you know, if they're in my house, I'll pick the kids up and, you know, we'll play and that sort of thing. But at church, I tend to be more restrained, right? Because, you know, just for that reason. But if they're at our place for a barbecue and, you know, someone's got my son and I've got their daughter or son, it's different consideration. It's not a church. Okay. It's a private get together. Okay. So, you know, shaking some child's hand, giving them a certificate, even giving them a big pat on the back, that's fine if, you know, they're up there in front and people are watching, other leaders are around, okay? I know that oftentimes, you know, you've got the female leaders and the teenage girls or the younger ones, and they can be clingy and cuddly and things, and I think, you know, that has some place, but our relationship with them is not primarily physical. You get get where I'm coming from? It's not foundationally a physical relationship. It's there somewhat, but that's not the basis of it, okay? Well, what do you do if you have a child who is starved emotionally? Might be a little girl, you know, and she's coming to you, you know, dad's not at home or dad's distant or far off, and then she just, you know, she's just attached to your leg Sunday morning. Or so how would you treat that girl, you think? What do you do? How would you sort of start creating those boundaries? Any ideas? What do you do with someone that's, I mean, you know, she's got hold of you and you know that this is kind of not really what you want, or this is not a good look, right? Someone comes in and, you know, someone sort of grabbed hold of you at your waist or, you know, your knee or whatever else. How would you try and, how do you solve that situation? What do you do? Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. Yeah, I like that. That's really good. Try and, you know, sort of try and teach them gently. Yeah. I like that idea about coming down on their level, you know, and holding the hand and sort of gradually moving away and saying, oh, hey, let's go do this. Can you help me with this? It requires two hands from them. All right. You don't want to crush their spirit. And I've had this situation happen, you know, with kids starved of attention, just wanting a hug. And that's a natural human response. That's how God's made us. We've been made for that sort of contact. And if we're not getting it home, you tend to look for it elsewhere. So that is a way to do it. You know, leader raising his or her voice. So I think whistles are good. I'm a whistle man myself for games. I'm just over, you know, trying to get kids' attention. I'd rather let a whistle do it, okay? Or you just, you know, you do a count, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, 5, and if someone's still talking, points to the other team, that sort of thing, all right? But sometimes you've got to raise your voice to get people's attention, particularly if someone's about to run across the street. You can yell then, all right? There's a safety issue. Go your hardest, all right? Have a loudspeaker, you know, stop the child running off onto the road, okay? So, but it's just that chronic yelling and screaming that is not good. The thing is that you start screaming at a child in anger, you've just escalated things. I mean, what else do you do beyond screaming? You start to, you know, reach towards, you know, the neck. That's what happens when you're angry. I mean, once you start screaming, you've just upped the ante. Where else do you go? It's got to go physical. If you lose your temper, you can really, you know, mess things up. All right. And so, you know, we need to pray, Lord, help me to be in control, at least of myself, if we can't control the child, so that if we raise our voice, we're still in control and it's not screaming or yelling at children. Okay. That repeatedly, you know, can be a chronic abuse. All right. Or, you know, accidental conduct. We trip over, we fall over during games, you know, that sort of stuff. These things happen. That's not a big deal. All right. Now, you know, it may be, you know, you crush their knee or whatever. That may be a negligence in terms of they hurt themselves, but it's not abuse. It's just an accident. All right. It's just an accident that happens. Okay. Have you had many injuries over the years with the youth group? So it's been pretty good. A few? VBS, yeah. Any like broken bones, that sort of thing, or not that bad? Tooth lost. Yeah. We had two boys last year. Well, I had these minty games, and we had two teeth gone that night from separate boys with some minty games. So just think of that this year when you plan. If you're going to have minty games, anyway. But they weren't upset. They thought it was great. I mean, they weren't upset with me. They just, it was just, it was, they'd reached, they'd sort of achieved something that night. You know, they were the star of games. You know, they sacrificed a tooth for the team, you know. All right. Thanks, Josh. What's not abuse, okay? Look, there's an emergency situation. You're short on leaders. Okay. Risk was low. All right. You know, you're looking for the runaway child and you're one lead short, okay? These things happen sometimes, all right? And, you know, there is, and, you know, frankly, I mean, there's a lot to be said for telling some parents, you know, well, why don't you come to club? Why don't you help? Your kids are here for the night. You know, why don't you be involved and minister to your children and to others so that, you know, we've got supervisors around? That's a good thing. You know, I guess be careful with some parents if they're not saved or whatever else, or you know, that they're not leaders as such, they're just observing that sort of thing. But it's, you know, it's good to have parents come and, you know, be part of things and, you know, minister to other children, you know, as well as their own. Look, appropriate contact. My wife's a piano teacher, flute teacher. She's always moving fingers, right, onto the right note, okay, the right, you know, hole on the flute, okay. So she has to sit beside them and, you know, move the hand and move the finger and, you know, get them in the right spot and, you know, get their feet in the right spot. That's appropriate, just like if you're a, you know, a PE teacher, okay? You need to, you know, help them. So if you're demonstrating a game or demonstrating a craft or whatever else, you know, provided you've got others around, then, you know, you can touch them for, you know, for legitimate reasons, okay? And then restraining a child from others, okay? Children do attack other children. They have fights and things like that. And so we need to protect children and leaders from other, you know, from other children, all right? We had a kid in Iwana a year or two ago, and it took us two or three leaders to keep the kid restrained. I mean, he had loads of issues and things, and it was sad. I mean, you know, I'm trying to teach a Bible lesson. And I got two leaders, you know, trying to hold this kid, and he is screaming for blue murder. And, you know, it wasn't an easy night that night, okay? And, but these things are going to happen from time to time. So that is not abuse. That's not a problem. Okay, some guidelines. Yeah, we don't physically discipline. All right, if you just put all those bullet points up, thanks, mate. Good. Look, as much as possible, you know, minister in pairs. If not, try and have an open space, okay? In our Awana Tuesday night, I'll often work with two clubbers, and someone will be with other clubbers, but we're in the similar sort of room like this. We're in different parts of the room, yeah? So there is some privacy, but not absolute privacy, okay? There's enough privacy to have a conversation that everyone else is not hearing, but really not enough for anything untoward really to go on. Okay. So there is blessing in having ministry in pairs, at least having someone else, you know, around, or if not, you within easy eyeshot. The door is open, the window's open, people can see in, you know, that kind of stuff. Does that make sense? Is that a fair call? All right. Yeah, or easily accessible, you know, to others. Okay, yep. Okay. Talked about, you know, touching children, you know, non-intimate parts, head, shoulders, knees, okay. Men, we just need to, I think, probably have almost a zero tolerance in terms of how we touch, you know, the young ladies, teen girls particularly, okay. If they're going to be hugged or, you know, whatever else it needs to be by our lady leaders. You just got to have a higher standard than otherwise for your sake. to avoid there being any sort of emotional attachment coming on through physical touch, that sort of thing. Okay, and just, you know, kids seeking the attention. We mentioned that earlier on about the child that's just latching hold of you. Okay, there is a gracious way of helping that child, you know, see what's appropriate, creating some boundaries. It might take a few weeks, okay, but it'll be good. You won't offend the child. They'll keep coming, and they'll have that healthy boundary, you know, with you. All right. Okay. Look, for games, consider levels of safety and intimacy. I sort of messed up last year with some games. Had this rope game where I was on the ground, sort of this rope, sort of, you know, being pulled, and kids were supposed to jump, right? And it was a really cool game if you have the right kind of rope. And I had a sort of a thicker rope than usual, and the lighting wasn't real flash. And we had some kids just dropping like flies, you know, and this was like, we're going to stop this game now. This is not a good game. Okay. And it was partly my fault and maybe not thinking a bit more, maybe just sort of hoping that there'd be no injuries. But, you know, 9 out of 10 times the games are okay. But maybe I think that a lot of that is maybe planning, trying to plan a little bit earlier. Hey, do we not plan half hour before game starts, right? Do we not leave it to the last minute? And, you know, man, where's this, where's that? The ball's flat, the bat's, you know, not in good shape. So if we give ourselves another 24 hours, a bit more planning, then, you know, we can avoid, you know, some of those things. Okay. Look, in terms of toilet visits, their primary age, they should be able to visit the toilet on their own. Younger ones to be taken by a female worker or a parent. Okay. If the toilet's a long way, they should be allowed to, you know, to go. You know, no problems with strangers loitering around, or they have had problems. Okay. Yeah, that's a shame. But so you just need to, you know, realise that and you know have provision for that. Any question about games? That can often be a big thing. Anything about that? Anything? Yeah. 5 minutes? Yep, okay. That's fine. All right, yep. You want to... yeah, when counselling, be in eyesight of others, try and be, okay? Find some privacy. It may not be absolute, okay? Supervision during ministry time. We've spoken about that. You might need to have someone to supervise. It might be, you know, just share it around. This leader's going to be outside after Awana this night, and next week it's going to be someone else, as long as someone's out there. If kids are out there, they're not being supervised. Be on the alert, you know, of course, for strangers too. Okay, when transporting kids, take someone else with you if possible. All right, if not, try and take 2 kids with you or 3. You might need to drop 1 off first and take the 2 home later on. Okay, the older they get, you may have a bit more liberty in terms of, you know, who's driving who home. Okay, but, you know, as much as you can, either take someone else or have more than 1 child, right, in the car. Okay. Otherwise, it could be just your word against someone else's, and you know that could be hard because you just can't prove anything. Okay. If you're visiting, try and do it with another leader. Or if I'm visiting, you know, if I'm just knocking on the door, I probably wouldn't go inside. I just talk to the parent outside, particularly if it's mum. All right. You know, here's some information. Here's a tract, or you know, we missed your kid last week and hope to see him tomorrow. I'm just going to stay at the front. Okay, so sometimes I'll take my son with me. It's nice to do that with him, and you know, the pastor has a son. You know, he is somewhat normal. You know, so that can be a good icebreaker. You know, as well. And be careful of relationships that can form between leaders and children. Okay, for that reason, right? Okay, what we might do is look. I've got something on signs of abuse. I think that's self-explanatory. So I don't know that we absolutely have to get through that tonight. But, you know, I can take questions later. I'll hand it over to you now, Wayne, if you like, or you got some couple of minutes, or what do you want to do? Yeah, you got some questions out of what we've shared tonight? Anything? Yep. Yep. I know, yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Look, I think the game that we had that night, the problem was the rope and the lighting. I don't think the game was the issue. If we'd had thinner rope, better lighting, and I reckon you explain it carefully, you demonstrate, you know, you say to the kids, listen, if you don't think you can do this game, don't do it. If you're not sure, you know, if you think you're going to get hurt or whatever else, maybe try your best kid first or something, you know, to demonstrate, see how they go, all right? Because, look, you can have the most basic games and kids fall over. So I don't want to take the fun out of club or, you know, or games. But I think if you take those kind of precautions and you take 5 minutes to explain the thing and to demonstrate and you do all that legwork, so to speak, and then test it out, and if you've got the good kids falling over and hurting themselves, then maybe just, you know, try and do something else. Or try it again next month when they see what the game is and, you know, they're right. But I know God protects us every week from injuries. Because when our games are on asphalt, you know, cover, and it's a miracle. We haven't got more problems than we do. And, you know, kids come barefoot most of the time. They seem to just do fine. So that's how I would do it, Josh. I would explain it thoroughly, demonstrate, try it out, you know, and say, listen, you know, if you're going to get hurt or you're going to trip over, then we might need to do something else, or we just want to see how this goes, and try and do it maybe a little bit slower or whatever else. So there's a way around this. There's a way around this too. You know, you want to keep the fun in it. Kids don't want boring games. The games time has to be like it. You know, I mean, I understand that's what often attracts them to club and things. It's the fun games time. Lots of running races and things are good, of course, just to get the heartbeat up, and them to, you know, they love fast moving games and stuff as well. Anything else? Anything? with counselling issues, try and have the ladies look after the girls, you know, that sort of thing. If for whatever reason they can't, you need to do it again, do it somewhere where you're in eyesight of others, okay? Sometimes they might need one of the male leaders to talk to them, you know, whether it's leading them to the Lord or, you know, something else like that. We'll just try and, you know, make sure that you are, you know, within eyesight of others. We've got two little girls in our club where dad's not around, and, you know, frankly, I think they need a male influence. You know, they need a godly man in their life, you know, to encourage them and help them, but not, you know, sort of away from everyone else, you know what I'm saying? There needs to be some boundaries there, okay? Anything else? I mean, some things might come up over sandwiches and things. All right. Well, thanks for coming out, the Sarvo. Hope it's been a bit of a help. Anyway, thanks, Pastor. No worries.